How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave Dufour and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
And welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Daily Ding, Weekend Update. I'm Dave Dufour, here with Keith Parrish, as I am every single Sunday. And Keith, we didn't have any games today. We only had one game all weekend long. How the hell are we still here, Keith? We're going to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and this was supposed to be a wrap. We had already started the coronation of King Jokic. Eric Spoelstra was the greatest coach in basketball history.
Right.
Jimmy Butler was the second coming of Michael Jordan.
Yes.
And now none of that's true anymore. So we're going into a Game 7. Game 7 is going to be Monday night for all the marbles back in Boston. This has never happened before. Teams up 3-0 in NBA history are 149-0. But Keith, it's not very often that the team that has home court advantage in Game 7 is the team that was also down 3-0.
Was the first time.
You don't get to Game 7s, typically.
We also don't get game-winning buzzer beaters when you're facing elimination. Just the second time ever. Michael Jordan's this shot, the first one. Derek White's the shot, too. No, my voice is exhausted following the series, Dave.
Also shot.
What? And it, yeah, that's the shot three, my vocal cords. The unbelievable. I thought we were going to have a week off. I thought we were going to have a week off. But now we're every other night and go into Monday. And it's remarkable, the thin line between the narratives we build. Like, they were a tenth of a second. The Heat are a tenth of a second away from making the finals. And the Celtics going into an offseason of, like, what do we do? And it just that, like, if the refs add 2.8 seconds on the clock as opposed to 3 seconds on the clock, it's all over. And it's wild how basketball comes down to these tiny things. And now you have the Heat just trying to figure it out. Like, can they piece together one more bit of magic? Does it all evaporate? Like, were they the Cinderella and the carriage just turned into the pumpkin? Now they got to do a Game 7. I mean, for us as fans, Game 7s are awesome, and it'll be exciting, and it'll be probably 48 minutes of like what the final 2 minutes were, where it was just ragged and gross, and no one could do much of anything.
Well, let's talk about the referees a little bit. I mean, you're a referee guy, you're a referee defender, and
I like
full disclosure, we're recording this, you know, mid-afternoon on Sunday. We were waiting for the last two-minute report. And instead, the NBA, they've given me Jamal Murray stats. They've given me, reminders of this thing that's happening. Here's the Larry O'Brien trophy, apparently made the trip to the Indy 500. But no last two-minute report from the biggest game of the season that had an extremely, I would say, controversial sort of finish. When you consider anytime referees are doing anything, it creates controversy. I think that they got this right. The foul on Jimmy Butler, it was obviously a foul. And then they amended the foul when they went to the review. So, you know, Boston, they wound up giving themselves a little bit more time by going to the review. And that's how the clock gets changed to 3 seconds. They call the first foul. Now, the argument here, Keith.
Right.
Should it have been a two-shot foul and not a three-shot foul?
I'm not... As in, he wasn't in the shooting motion. I'm not saying any of this. For me, none of this is controversial as far as the final minutes, like, or the final seconds, the final play. I thought the last 2 minutes in a lot of this game was borderline hard to watch because it was just foul baiting. I mean, a story of this game is the Celtics were actually terrible at shooting the basketball. And Jason Tatum was 0-for-8 from three and Jaylen Brown 0-for-4. This was, as a team, the Celtics' worst 3-point performance of the season. And yet, they were winning, and then they blow this lead at the end, and it felt like everything was just devolving into, I'm going to throw myself into my defender and hope I get a whistle. And Jimmy Butler's one of the best of this. And Jimmy Butler had a terrible shooting night. But at the end, I thought, like, all the foul calls, they were obvious and apparent. Like, Al Horford, what are you doing? And a lot of Celtics fans are saying Jimmy Butler double dribbled. No, we can clearly, everyone understands he fumbled the ball. He tried to pick it up. He dropped it. You're allowed to pick the ball up again. And that honestly is, I think, why Al Horford was so out of rhythm on defense, mm-hmm. because he thought Jimmy Butler was going up to shoot, but Jimmy Butler fumbles the ball. Nothing Al Horford can do. He picks it up again, and then he's out of position. Jimmy Butler gets the contact. I thought it was, you know, he was in the upward shooting motion when the contact happened. I think there was some confusion over the game clock based on the broadcast, where, like, when you saw it on the broadcast, you're like, wait a minute, there's 2.5 seconds left. But then when you watched him when they were doing the Secaucus replay camera, you're like, oh, the clock's a little bit different. So, again, we're talking, they still haven't put out the last 2-minute report. I thought everything was done properly.
Looked good to me.
And, hey, I mean, it worked. Like, who's upset? It worked
nobody.
Out. I mean, I guess the Heat are, you know, the Heat are like, man, I wish there was less time on the clock. But Butler nailed all three of those clutch free throws to take that lead, to give the gut punch to the entire city of Boston and that whole fan base. It's like, we really blew this. We really blew a 10-point lead. And we're about to force this game 7. But then Derek White, miracle worker.
Listen, man, Derek White, right place, right time. And Eric Spoelstra said in the post game, that ball went, meaning like the rebound, it went to the one place. Like, if it had bounced a little higher, a little lower, a little to the left, a little to the right, he doesn't have time. I mean, it's 0.1 when it's out of his finger. And it was 0.3, I think, when he caught it, or 0.4. I mean, it is the quickest putback. But if it's anywhere else, Keith, it doesn't go in. It's amazing. I mean, it was just, what a finish. We got through the slog. We got through this awful basketball. Speaking of all, you talked about the Celtics going 7 of 35 from 3. That's awful. 20%.
Yeah.
Miami, 14 of 30 from 3. Great shooting night for them, except 19 of 63 from 2. We made it through some nasty basketball to get to that last 3 seconds that we got to watch. And Derek White comes through, crashing the basket. If you're Miami, man, like, you just got to throw your hands up at this point. They have no legs, no life. Jimmy Butler looks exhausted. He was 5 of 21 from the field. Like, he's playing like he's tired. He had a dunk early in the game. Barely.
Playing like he's hurt, Dave. I mean, we expect more. It's funny. I mean, you look at the last 3 games, the performances of Jimmy Butler, it's not what we expected. And maybe it just balances off with how magically good he was for a while. In the first 14 or so playoff games, where he was just like, what's going on with Jimmy Butler? He's the best player in the world. Second coming of Michael Jordan, like you said. But yeah, he's been a mess. This Heat team, they seem like they're running on fumes. I mean, thankfully Gabe Vincent came back. Like, the no Gabe Vincent Heat was horrible to watch. Kyle Lowry had nothing that he could offer, but Gabe Vincent comes back and plays well in this game 6. But like, yeah, Jimmy was huge down the stretch getting to the foul line. But if Jimmy gives him anything before then, you know, maybe they're not in this predicament. And I guess that's the question. Can he rebound again for a game 7? And like, what are we feeling about? I don't know. This whole Heat team, it's so weird. Again, it goes back to like the split second play. If that rebound doesn't spin out perfectly to the side, Derek White's crashing the glass on. Now we're like, all the stories.
We're talking about how Jokic would have to, how is he going to handle Bam Adebayo? I mean, that's what we'd be talking about.
Honestly, right now. I mean, I wonder what the Nuggets people are thinking. Like, I feel like they probably wanted the Heat. It seems like they only have one big and we have Jokic.
Right.
Let's do this. And now, I mean, maybe the Nuggets don't care. Maybe they're just relaxing. You know, I assume they're practicing a lot. How many days off do you think they've had? They got a full, like, over a week off.
They're just having another training camp, actually, I think, at this point. Yeah. Let's talk about Boston a little bit, man, because they were down 3-0, and they're the team that's won the last 3 games, and it does feel like we've been extremely Miami-focused overall, just because it's more about, like, how are they blowing this huge lead in the series? But it's because Boston's just played better. This was their worst shooting game
of the series, and especially in the wins. That was one of the big things for them, is they can't win when they don't make threes. And this was, they got one where they didn't make threes, and Miami did hit their threes. So that's like one of those rare victories for the Boston Celtics. Like, this is the sort of like basketball magic stuff.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Well, Jason Tatum, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, like, for me, it's, I mean, maybe this is too much podcaster brain, not just acknowledging Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but for me, it's having the backcourt of Derek White and Marcus Smart, who just do everything. Like, right. They are the glue guys, and they can help you win these rock fights, you know, like where they are just making all little plays. And again, that's probably short circuiting or not giving the proper due to how incredibly good Jason Tatum is and Jaylen Brown, you know, are. Like, those are, I guess Brown and Tatum are the most important players. But like, when you come to this, where it is a struggle, where it is such a ugly game, for me, it's the fact that the Celtics team, maybe it's just the sorting of the rotation where it's like they have like five guys now, basically they're depending on, but having White and Smart be able to play 40 plus minutes to go alongside those superstars, you know, they're doing a lot of that dirty work that's helping the Celtics win when they can't make those threes.
Yeah. Tatum had 31, but he was 0-of-8 from three, shooting like 23% from three in the series. And so I think that makes it feel like he's playing a lot worse. But the truth is, man, his defense on Jimmy Butler changed the series. When Tatum started picking up Butler all the time, you could see Jimmy Butler, I'm not going to say he was scared of the ball because that's Jimmy Butler, but he was looking for ways to get out of it. He was having to expend a lot more energy trying to get the pre-switch just so he can get the favorable matchup. That's actually one of the bigger changes that Mazzulla's made in the series, which, you know, he got hammered in the first three games, and I think people are starting to come around on Mazzulla a little bit more. Like, we're watching him kind of learn on the fly at the highest level, under extreme scrutiny and pressure. I mean, down 0-3 in the conference finals and he just took over a team that had made the finals the previous year. And it looked like they looked like they quit in game three.
Right. Right.
And now all of a sudden, you know, we have people saying that he probably saved his job. I think he was probably not going to get fired, but he certainly has totally changed the script on what people are saying about Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been weird if they fired him, even if they like got swept, where it's like, well, he's a rookie coach. You hired him, like, you know, it didn't turn out the way you wanted, but like, to give up on him after one season is kind of odd. But yeah, now he's got something. He's won five straight elimination games, and I don't know if it is just, it was a bad week, like he said. He said, hey, we had a bad week. Worst time of the year to have a bad week, but we had a bad week and we lost three games and now they've won three straight. And just, if it is just sticking with what they know, they trust, this is our offense. We are going to keep doing the same stuff, going through the same process. We think it was, you know, they're saying it was bad shooting luck in several of these games and outlier performances from the Heat and then outlier bad performances for the Celtics. And now, I mean, I don't know, like, it feels weird to draw conclusions when it all comes down to a split second, like a perfect play. But it is like, you know, when they were down 3-0, a lot of people said, like, we all started highlighting how no one's ever done it. But coming into the series, before any games were played, most people thought the Celtics were massively better than the Heat.
I had them at six.
Yeah, like, I think most people thought the Celtics were, before the playoffs started, I know a lot of people picked the Celtics to come out of the East. They assumed they were the best team. And then when we started seeing stuff like, oh, maybe, I don't know, they fell down 3-2 to the Sixers. I didn't expect that. But the talent level of the Celtics all year. I mean, this is a finals level team that added Malcolm Brogdon. Of course, Malcolm Brogdon didn't play in game six, but like this Celtics team has the pedigree and the talent where we're like, that is the team to beat. We've been saying it all year. And then it's like, oh, well, now they're down 3-0. What an amazing story for the Heat. And that is where then once the Celtics win one, it is, hey, you know, two out of the final three at home. This could go their way. And all they got to do, if they can take care of business on the road in Miami. And like they were, I mean, they were in control. It felt like, you know, they were up like 7-10-12 most of the game. But then, of course, we had the drama of that fourth quarter where it's like, wow, I felt like the Celtics were back in cruise control. They'd gotten over their whatever it was, their bad week. And now they're the dominant team and maybe they're going to be huge favorites in game seven. But then they gave it all up and they missed free throws down the stretch. They gave up buckets and free throws to Jimmy Butler.
We're calling that a vibes win for them. That was a vibes win for them. I mean, the ball bounces to Derek White because their vibes had improved, right? I don't know if you got a chance to read it, but over at The Athletic, Jared Weiss did a great story about Boston and a trip to Topgolf, literally waking up the positive vibes for the team. So if you haven't read that, guys, go and check it out. Keith, I think this is a great place to wrap, but we never do predictions.
Yeah.
I want to do a prediction for game seven here with me and you, because it's a toss up. I'm assuming the Celtics are going to be favored. They were favored by 8.5 in the last game in Boston.
I believe they're 8-point favorites right now, Dave.
And I'm not, honestly, man, it would not surprise me if Boston just absolutely blows them out of the water. Like it feels like we are being set up. Yeah. It feels like we're being set up for one of those Boston Celtics start out, 38-point first quarter. They're shooting like 70% from three in the first half, and it's over. Because Miami is running on fumes.
It's what it feels like, but it does seem like the rhythm of this series would just when like people have a grasp on what they think is going to happen, then there's a zag. And so maybe it will be Jimmy Butler has the pressure. Like if the Heat can, if they can avoid getting that like early TKO, like in game five where they got blasted, to start the game.
They look like they didn't want to be there in game five.
Yeah. And like, I feel like if the Heat can endure that, then I think the pressure starts building. I don't know. Like, I trust Jimmy Butler in these situations. And you got to trust Eric Spoelstra in these situations. And it does seem like if it's a close game, then I think maybe the pressure of the home crowd, like the nervous energy, maybe that gets to the Celtics. I don't know. I mean, my initial gut is what you're saying. Like, you'll blow out. It feels like maybe the Heat ran out of gas. The Celtics figured it out. I mean, but also, like, are Jimmy and Bam going to combine to both shoot 25% or worse again? I mean, those guys combined 9 out of 37 in game six. And so I would expect more from them. But again, if you're asking for a prediction, I do think, like, I would probably take Celtics running away. I think they're going to, I keep thinking they got to make three-pointers. At some point, the Celtics threes are going to start, all falling in. And, game seven would be a great time for that to happen if they actually want to make this finals matchup. I mean, to come back from 3-0 and then to lose at home, I don't know if they would like that or not. Like, would you rather just get swept?
I don't even know. That's something I wouldn't even want to think about if I were in their shoes. So
Well, if you're a Heat fan,
embarrassment. I feel it very heavily for people. If they lose this game, I'm feel awful.
I know for a fact, if you're a Heat fan, you would have rather not come back in game six. You would have rather lost by 10 than what happened, because you had it. It was in your hands. You're going to the NBA Finals. Then one tenth of a second, one Derek White, perfect play. And now we got ball on Monday.
We got holiday basketball. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Keith Parrish, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been the Weekend Update on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.